Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church of Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. Welcome to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. My name is John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas, and we are so glad to be able to be with you this morning. I wanted to share something that my sister Lisa down in Georgia sent me this week, and I thought it was good, especially because there have been so many recently that have lost loved ones to death. And even though as a child of God, we know that death is just a temporary thing, it's still a challenge to live with and deal with. And so I wanted to share these thoughts from a lady by the name of Elizabeth Ammons. She writes, "You can shed tears because they are gone, or you can smile because they lived. You can close your eyes and pray they will come back, or you can open your eyes and see all that they left for you. Your heart can be empty because you can't see them, or you can be full of the love you shared. You can turn your back on tomorrow and live yesterday, or you can be happy for tomorrow because of yesterday. You can remember only that they are gone, or you can cherish their memory and let it live on. You can cry and close your mind and feel empty, or you can do what they would want you to. Smile, open your heart, love, and go on." I thought that was pretty neat little writing, and I wanted to share that with all of you that have been grieving recently and even not so recently. Again, we've talked about how difficult the pain of separation and death is. But again, here's what's important for the Christian and for the whole world to know, that God doesn't want us to die forever. Sure, we're going to die physically, but God doesn't want us to die forever. He wants us to live forever. He wants us to experience all that He has for us. When He created mankind, there was no sin or death in the world. That was His original creation. He said it was very good. His intent was that men live forever. And yet, because of sin, we don't have that opportunity anymore. And the wages of sin is death. And the only way that that can be taken care of is by a God who loves us and cares about us enough to send His only Son, Jesus, to pay the penalty for our sins on the cross. And yet someone says, "Well, how do you know all this? And where do you get this? And how can you sound so confident? And who shared these things with you?" Well, friend, I want you to know that these are things that you can only find in the Bible, in the Scriptures, in the Word of God. Now, a lot of times people, when you mention the word Bible, sometimes people go, "Ah, the Bible, that's an old, outdated, archaic, and how can you believe that?" And my question to them is always, well, how can you not believe it? Have you ever really looked into it? Have you ever really studied it? Have you ever really looked at the evidence to show and to prove that the Scriptures are the Word of God? From Genesis to Revelation, they are such an amazing, I like to call it a holographic image of the mind of God and of the history of mankind and how God has interceded in that history and how God wants what's best for mankind. And yet, if mankind chooses to turn their backs on God and allow their thoughts to become wicked only all of the time, as it was back there in Genesis 6, well, ultimately there's a judgment day coming where God is going to separate the righteous from the unrighteous, the good from the wicked, that which is true and right and honorable from that which is corrupt and perverted and sinful. And God's going to make that judgment, not any one of us. But it's so good to know that, because we have an opportunity to say, hey, I want to live for a God that's that good to me and that good to mankind. And somebody says, well, wow, in light of all the things that have been going on recently, I don't know if I can believe that. Well, you can choose to allow circumstances and things that go on around you and other human beings' free will decisions to control your mind and your emotions and your direction. Or you can say, you know what? Those are all circumstantial things, and yet I'm going to put my hope in God. I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. And so I want to talk to you this morning in the time that we have left about the Word of God, the Bible, the truth that men need to hear and look at and search and know about so they can be prepared not only for this life, but especially for the life to come. And so somebody says, well, what's the Bible? And I would say, well, the Bible's the Word of God. And then you say, well, what does that mean? Well, here's what it means. It means that, first of all, the scriptures or the Bible are from God. From God. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. It tells us that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness. So all scripture is God-breathed. In other words, from Genesis to Revelation, it is as if God was saying these things himself. Now, there are some times where he did audibly share his word with the nation of Israel and with the prophets and with others. The word of the Lord came to them. But even when it came to those prophets and those who wrote down the word of God, it was still from the mouth of God, or from the very nature, from the very being of God. And so when you open the Bible, it's not just a book that you're reading, it's a collection of writings over a period of 1600 years by 40 different authors on things that God wants us to know and understand about life, about where life began, about how life continued, about the different judgments that God made on humanity over the millennia, and how he sent Jesus to us, and how through Christ we can have salvation, and all the way to the end of Revelation, where in the culmination of all things, God's going to separate out all the wickedness and the ungodliness from his creation, all the sin and death and sorrow and pain and tears. And it'll be a creation, it'll be a state of things where all of those things will have passed away, and there will be joy and peace and happiness to a degree that even though we have those things now, as Christians, we'll have them in so much of a greater way that we can't even begin to imagine what it would be like. I love that song by Mercy Me, I Can Only Imagine. And believe me, I do a lot of imagining, and I hope you do too. I hope that you're longing for the return of Jesus Christ and the culmination of all of God's plans. You see, God is patient. He doesn't want anyone to perish. But, you know, the Word of God has been out there for several thousand years. And that new covenant in the blood of Christ has been preached and proclaimed for an awful long time. I want to encourage you, if you haven't looked into it or searched it out yet, that you'd begin to do that. Because God is patient, but one of these days his patience is going to run out. And we certainly don't want to be unprepared for that. It's why Jesus told his disciples, watch, be ready, be on your guard. Don't let the things of this world weigh you down so that you're unprepared to meet God. So first of all, the Word of God, the Bible, is from God. Let me share one more scripture with you from 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and starting in verse 20. Peter, one of the apostles of Jesus Christ, says, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but prophets, though they were human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So, you see, within the Scripture itself, some of the specific prophecies that are part of Scripture, those things are from God as well. They didn't come about by man's guesses and conjectures and, oh, I think so's, and there's a probability that. No, the things that the prophets were given, the things that they prophesied and wrote down, those came from God as these men were moved by the Holy Spirit to write these things down. And so we know that the Bible is not a product of men, although men wrote it, but it is the Word of God. It comes from God, and it is of God, and it is a product of the Holy Spirit as He moved men to write these prophecies. And as they recorded these things, He testified or proved that those things were right and good. And so we can have confidence that the Bible is the Word of God because it's from God. It's not just a human thing. Number two, it is perfect. Okay, the Word of God is perfect. In Psalm chapter 19, Psalm chapter 19, starting in verse 7. Psalm 19 and verse 7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing or converting the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." Friends, I want you to know that the law of the Lord is perfect. The Word of God is perfect. It's flawless, okay? That many times in the writings and teachings of men, there are flaws, there are mistakes, there are things that are not to be there. But I want you to know the Word of God, as it was originally given to the prophets and the apostles, and as they wrote those things down and recorded them, those are the perfect writings of God. Now, sure, men can corrupt the Word of God, men whose hearts aren't with God. And yet there is a whole study called textual criticism where men who love God and who love His Word can show you where the supposed errors are and the contradictions and the things that crept into the text, even accidentally. And so that you can know that the Word of God is perfect and pure. And it's also true in John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, when we have the longest recorded prayer of Jesus. And in John chapter 17, in verse 15, Jesus says, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one." You see, God never intended for Christians, the church, to be taken out of the world. He wants us to be in the world, to be salt and light, and to be able to share and hold out the word of truth. And so Jesus said, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." And so the Word of God is from God. It's perfect. It is true. And it's also a light in the darkness to us. It's a light in the darkness to us. Look at Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119 and verse 105. Longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119. Psalm 119, 105, many of you have it memorized. And it says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path." You see, when you're in the darkness or when you're walking in the darkness, it's sure good to have a light, isn't it? A flashlight. Well, this is talking spiritually about there is spiritual darkness all around us. We were part of it at one time. We were lost and hated and were hated and all of the things that we indulged in. We were selfish and we didn't acknowledge God, or certainly not very well. We may have just given him lip service. But this verse tells us that his word is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. The word of God, the Bible, helps us to have wisdom and discernment, to be able to see what's right and what's wrong, so that we won't go stumbling around in the darkness. I don't know about you, but that's very encouraging and wonderful to know that God cares about us that much, that this is how he has chosen to communicate with us, something that we can have, something that we can read, something that is there with us, something we can hide in our heart so that we can take it with us wherever we go. Hey, let's listen to our first song this morning. This is a song by Petra called Counsel of the Holy, the written word of God, the thing that can just absolutely challenge us, convict us, help us to understand ourselves and the world around us. Let's listen to Petra sing Counsel of the Holy.
The victory.
All right, what a great song, Counsel of the Holy. And I'd like you to turn now or listen to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. This tells us what I was sharing right at the end of the last session before we went into the song. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." Friend, this is what the Word of God, the Bible, the Scripture, it does. It's living. It's active. It's like a sword, not literally going into our body, but spiritually, it's like a double-edged sword penetrating into our whole being. It challenges us. It helps us to think differently. It motivates us. It stirs our conscience if it's not too hardened. And even if it is, the Word of God is amazingly powerful because it's from God Himself. And God's Spirit is working in the lives of men who haven't accepted, who are walking in the dark, to listen, to understand, to say, "Hey, let this get into you and challenge you and convict you that you need salvation in Jesus Christ." And frankly, that's what 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 14 and 15 tell us. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 14 and 15, you see another thing that the Word of God does. We know it's from God. We know it's perfect and true. We know that it's a light in the darkness for us. We know that it challenges our thoughts and our motives and our consciousness. But here's one thing that it is so awesome at doing. It makes us wise for salvation. It makes us wise for salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, as Paul writes to Timothy, says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." You see, Timothy's grandmother and mother, they both knew the Word of God. They both had the Holy Scripture. And so from the time he's just a little tyke, they would read and tell him and share with him and help him to grow up in those things. And so Paul is reminding him how he has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. You know, we have to come to Jesus Christ in faith. We need to continue to live by faith in Jesus Christ. And so the Scripture is what makes it possible for us to know the will of God, and then for us to choose to put that into practice as the Holy Spirit of God strengthens us and helps us to grow in grace and knowledge and takes away all of those rough edges as we do the will of God. What an awesome thing to hide the Word of God in our heart so we might not sin against Him. You know, Jesus said over in John chapter 5, John chapter 5 and verse 39, John chapter 5 and verse 39, he told the religious leaders, "You study the Scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very Scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." And friends, I hope that's not you. I hope that you don't think that just because you go to church or just because you have a Bible or just because your parents were religious, that that makes you a follower of Jesus Christ. Okay? We don't study the Bible. We don't have a Bible because we think the Bible's going to save us. We study the Scriptures diligently because the Scriptures are the very things that testify about Jesus and about God's love and mercy and grace for us. And that's why we study them. We study them so we might know the Word and the will of God, so that by those things we may be saved. And I'll tell you what, it's these very Scriptures that point us to Christ. You know, all those prophecies that the prophets didn't come up with on their own, but they were led into the truth by the Holy Spirit. Those prophecies are all about Jesus. Okay? They all point to Jesus as the Messiah, as the anointed one, as the Christ, as the one through whom we have salvation. And over in the book of Acts chapter 4, as Peter was proclaiming the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ to those in the Sanhedrin. And they were amazed at their teaching and their authority because they recognized that they had been with Jesus. And Peter boldly stood before them and he said to them, filled with the Holy Spirit, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who is lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Now listen to verse 12, and this is the key. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Friends, you can't save yourself. Nobody else can save you either, spiritually speaking. Now, they may save you financially, or they may save you physically, but only Jesus can save us spiritually from the debt of our sin, okay? Only Jesus can give us life past death. And he told Mary there in John chapter 11 that even though you die, you'll live if you'll believe in me. And so here's the rub, friends. If we're not getting our information, if we're not getting our wisdom from the Word of God that makes us wise for salvation, then what are we doing in life? Okay, we can fill our minds up with movies and with songs and with games and with pleasure and with all the other things. We can fill it up with work and we can fill it up with finances and money. But I'll tell you what, it's only the Word of God that will make us wise to salvation. And the only way that it will make us wise in salvation is if we will realize that salvation is found in no one else. For there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. I want to ask you this morning, are you saved? Is your soul secure in Jesus Christ? Are you alive in Christ? Has the old man been buried in baptism and been raised in walk in newness of life? If not, friend, you need to search the Scripture. You need to search the Scripture and find out these things and to know that they are true and to follow them and to put them into practice. And so, hey, thanks for listening to me this morning. I appreciate your time. And I just want you to continue to search out the Word of God for the truth that is in it. We're the Church at Las Vegas. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. We'd love to have you come and bring your questions, bring your concerns, bring your doubts, bring all those things, because we'd love to help you deal with those and to build you a foundation of faith that you can stand on too in the Lord Jesus Christ. We meet Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6, and Wednesday evening at 7. We're going through the book of Proverbs on Wednesday night, so come on out for that. You can also find out more about us online at thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com. And just so thankful again, one more time, that we have the Word of God to read and to study. And I pray that all of us will continually do that through our lives. God bless you. Keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. God bless you this week.